we're gonna do this call.
She's gonna be calling at nursery.
I'll call her back.
Okay. Okay. I'll pray. Father in heaven, you can hear us even without a mic. God, you have been so good to us. Lord, you know that this morning I kept hearing, Lord, you fight our every battle. God, you are powerful and you have done everything that there is to do. It's been done already. You accomplished it all at the cross. You rose again and you defeated the enemy and you have done it all. God, you have fought already all of our battles and you have clothed us in power to go ahead and do what you've called us to do. You have qualified us and you've called us, and I pray that you will reveal to us today through the message the love that you have for us and the grace and ability that you have given us to walk in your power and do your will. Thank you for this freedom and for this love, God. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Praise God. Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Potter Sands. Screen. Good morning, everyone. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. It's good to thank Him for all we have. You know, I was just thinking things to be thankful for, and my sister texted me and from Ontario, Southern Ontario, and we have a cottage, my family, up in Cobalt in Northern Ontario, and she said this photographer was paddling by our cottage and said there's no loons on the loon raft. My dad built a loon raft, and a couple loons nested on there and actually had babies 2 years ago. But she said the bugs were bad. And, like, anybody ever been to Northern Ontario? Like, yeah, okay, the bugs are bad. Well, that's just a statement, the bugs are bad. Well, I was sitting out in my backyard last night, and I went, you know, God, there is not one single mosquito here, not one, you know, and like bad is just a relative word. Like, you cannot be outside. They'll eat you alive. They eat you alive. Black flies, mosquitoes, and call them no-see-ums here. They're called sand flies there. And I'm just, oh, I'm so thankful I live in Dry Gulch, Alberta. Whew. Thank you, Lord. Wow, bad bugs. Yeah, so I was just thinking of, as that we were worshiping God there and praising Him, about just Paul, what he said one time. He said, God's love constrains us. And I'm just thinking, wow, that is so amazing. I don't even know really what it means, but it's powerful. And another time, another thought too came to my mind is this verse, this passage in Colossians. I know if Alvin was here, he'd like this. They're camping, by the way, with Lazarus House guys. There's about 20 people out in Abraham Lake right now enjoying God and the splendor of the mountains. This is an amazing passage, Colossians 4. And Paul just like, if the Apostle Paul needed prayers, how much more do we need them? Like, we need to just continually be in prayer for our leaders. I encourage you to do that. Especially Ray at the Lazarus House, Pastor Stan, Alvin. And this is really good. Continuing earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which also I am in chains. Paul's just asking for prayer there. That's amazing. Just encourage us all to continue to lift up our leaders in prayer and just one another in prayer and stuff like that. Well, I'm going to introduce our speaker here today. I know him a little bit. He's a very good friend of mine. And he comes from Grenfell. Anybody know where that is? It's dead center of Saskatchewan, right by the trans, right on the Trans-Canada. I drove by it and I went, oh, there it is. There's a grain elevator there. That's about it. I think there might have been one store. There's just a tiny little Hogs Hollow. Yeah, yeah, you blink and you missed it. Anyway, he grew up in a big family, lots of brothers, and his dad was a farmer there. And then God revealed himself to my buddy, and he, in an incredibly miraculous, supernatural way. God doesn't often do that. Like, I got to know Jesus by reading the Bible, by reading the Word. But God really just, sometimes he really just knocks people off their horse and saves them. Just, it's an amazing, amazing thing. Like, there's one fire medic here that was saved in the midst of an inferno. Like, it's just sometimes, and God says, I got you. Wow. Oh, that's like, and that just blows my theology out of the water. Well, where was the Word in that? Well, God is the Word, so give it a right. Just don't worry, Doug. So anyway, without further ado, I'm just going to introduce my brother and friend, Pastor Don Heineman. And he's going to give us a word here today. So,
there we go. We're on. Bless you.
Yeah. Hey, let me just pray for my brother before we start. Mm-hmm. Father, we just commit this service to you. Mm-hmm. We depend on you. We trust in you, and we love you, Lord. And I just pray that you'd be mm-hmm. with my brother Don, and just give him words mm-hmm. to say, mm-hmm. and your name would be glorified. Mm-hmm. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I'm going to surprise my brother. He talks about my testimony, and I told him this when I first met him, but you didn't know this, but I have a copy here. A copy of his poem about my changing. Written by Doug McLean, called by the Father before there was time, predestinated, foreknown, he's a child of mine. Surrendered to the Spirit at the midnight hour, down on his knees under the power, back to the past in Bible days, walking with Jesus with a faith that stays. Here comes the horses, red and black, stampede of righteousness, glory attack. Saved by the blood in a Holy Ghost gale, you can't resist him, he's always prevails. Every sin forgiven by the power to atone, resting in the arms of Jesus, going home. Beautiful poem. I had a friend of ours who does that fancy writing, and he printed two pieces up, and I framed them, and I gave one to Doug, and mine is hanging on the wall too. Beautiful poem. It really blessed me. But I want to thank you all for coming today, brothers and sisters in Christ. We are one by the blood, right? Amen. By the blood. I feel closer to you folks, the Christians, than I have two brothers left out of five. Three have died, and they don't know Christ. And my mom is going to be 108 on the 23rd of July, and we're going home to see her again. And they went to have a little do, and of course they're big drinkers. And I said to my brother Gilbert, why do you have to have one now? Mom's mind is going. She doesn't know what day it is. Oh, he said, family gathering. but I know what'll happen. And I don't want to sound so holy, but I'll be standing in the corner back here, and I'll look at all those people there, and most of them will be related to me, cousins and all over. They're coming from California and all over Ottawa. And I will feel so alone, so isolated. But I have one cousin, he's the same age as me, and he's a great guy, and I can witness to him. I just gradually come to him and say, Les, you know, this and that. And he listens. So I feel better when I go home. But I do feel like a stranger, but that's okay. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. There's only Mom and I who believe. And Mom was 85 when she accepted the Lord. And they were married in 1928. Lutherans, German Lutherans. And the pastor gave them a great big black Bible. And every time there was a death or a birth, Dad would write in the Bible. And then when she accepted Christ, holding my hands, she said, but Donald, I want to read it in Dad's Bible tomorrow morning in German. So I don't know German. And I'm holding this big, heavy Bible up in front of her. She has only one eye. She can't see well. And I'm looking. I see Mark, M-A-R-C. We're getting there. We're trying to get to John 3:3, as you know. You must be born again. So finally we got there. And she's holding it up like this. And then she goes, oh, it's true. It's true. She said, you must be born again. She wasn't taught that. Then she was angry at the pastors who did. She said, they didn't tell me. And I said, Mom, read the Bible. You should have read the Bible. We pay them, she said, to teach us the old way. The old way, right? But anyway, I'm going to read from one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. This is the love chapter. 1 Corinthians 13. And we'll get there eventually here. And Chad, can you put that up or got it up? Oh, there it is. My translation is New King James, so I think that's NIV, but it doesn't matter. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have no love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and I understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. And somebody told me one time, when you're reading this chapter, Don, wherever it says love, put Christ. So if we haven't got Christ, we have nothing. We have nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Have not God. Have not God. God is love. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself and is not puffed up. God is love. God is love. Does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil. God is love. Love, love. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. God never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Where there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect, which is God, has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror, dimly, but then face to face. Now I see in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. And now abide in faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love, is God, is God. So when we look at one another and we are all Christians, we can't have no anger inside us because he took it to the cross. So we love one another. When we walk, one man said to me, Don, why do you think you're still here on this earth at 79? Because we have to show the love of Christ. Isn't that it? Isn't that what we're doing on this earth? We're showing the love. He could have taken, as soon as he accepted you, he could have taken you home right away. But no, he said, stay here on the earth and show my love. God is love, right? Everything is all about him is love. Now we're going to go to 1 John. One of my favorites again. Mind you, this book, the whole book, I think, is my favorite, right? So anyway, 1 John 4 and 8. And this is the one I like speaking to at the Pines for the seniors there, which I know I am one. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. If you don't love one another, you don't know God, right? So verse 20, this is the clincher here, this one. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? That really hit me home to me one time. Yes. That person, I don't really care for them. But I like what old Gaston always says to me. He said, you know, Don, sometimes personalities and that will clash sometimes. But love them from a distance. Gaston has taught me so many things. Love them from a distance, Don. Never hate. Because if we hate, if we carry a burden, if we got a grudge against somebody, we are still in our sins. The Bible says so. If Jesus can forgive that person, if they hurt you, can't you? I guess you better. You better forgive. I don't want to go back into those sins. But Jesus is love. He forgives us all. Everything is done. Like who was it Margaret says today in her prayer? It's done. In German they say, Gunnund, finished. All done. He done it all on that cross. If we can grasp that cross, what he did, he not only forgive you for your sins, but by the beatings, he forgive you. He took away the sickness and diseases, the frustration, the anger, the jealousies, the pride. Anything that will hinder you walking with him, he took it to the cross. And the blood, remember when he hung on the cross and the soldier speared him in the heart, the blood and water run. He gave up all his blood. He didn't have a drop of blood in him when he died. You know why? Because he gave it all to us. And the Bible says, your sins are washed away as far as the east is to the west. When I think of some of the things I did as a young man, and I'm forgiven, I'm clean. When God looks at me, he doesn't see the filth that I had. It's already on his son. He sees his son on me. I am white in a white robe. I'm pure. Jesus took it all, everything you can think of. Galatians 1:13 says, I believe I remember right, he took all the curses. Anyone who hangs on a tree is cursed. Jesus was cursed for our sins, for our generation's sins, for all our sins. If you believe that you're born again, brand new, if my family, the Heinemann family, has a curse on them, I don't have it. Because I'm born again. I'm a new creation. A new creation. As 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, I'm a new creation. In Romans, where I'm going next, he says, you were crucified with him in Romans 6:6. Galatians 2:20, you no longer live, but he lives in you. So no curses can be on you because you're brand new. The old Don is dead. Once in a while, he likes to try to wake up on me, you know, those old bad things will start coming on me. But we got to quench it. We got to say, no, he's dead. No more Don Heinemann, who used to run around, drink, and do all kinds of things like a lot of us did. But I'm brand new. I'm brand new. I'm walking in the blood. I am righteousness, right standing. What does righteousness mean to you folks? To me, right standing with God. I'm justified just as if I never sinned. I'm sanctified, set apart for him. We walk by the blood. That's why I'm almost talking about the blood. I'm not saying I'm superior to you folks or anybody, because God has no favorites. He has no favorites. His sons and daughters mean the same to him. The preachers, the evangelists, the bishops, and whatever they have for a name, they're no better than you. You are. We're all the same. He's all the same in Christ. In Christ. But let's go to my favorite book, as Doug knows this one. I got another favorite here, but this one is my real favorite. Romans. Doug gave me a book a while ago. He bought a few more and gave them out, and it's a terrific book. What's the guy's name again? All About Romans. Man, it's powerful, because I just suck up Romans. Romans 6, 7 and 8 we'll go to. 6, 1. What shall we say? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? What is number 2? This is the one I like. Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? What does he mean by that? He means that you died, Romans 6, 6, Galatians 2, 20, you died with him. You were crucified with him. And now you're resurrected. You rose. Romans 7. Now this is a controversial chapter. But I studied on this so many times, so many years, because I couldn't figure out what Paul was saying. Romans 7, 17. Let's read it. But now, if it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. He said, I'm not sinning. It's the sin that dwells in me, in this body. Remember, when we were born again, we got a new spirit, but we still had the same body. We still got this old body, didn't we? But now, the sin dwells in this. Remember, you're a spirit. When you die, you're separated from this tent. There's two spirits, if you're born again, living in here. The Holy Ghost and me. And Ephesians 1, 13, I believe it is, we're sealed with him. Who can break that seal? Can you break it? I can't. So remember, separate yourself from you are a spirit from this tent that you're living in. He keeps going here to on 17 and 20. This is what he's talking about. He's talking about separate yourself. You are a spirit. You're living in this tent. When you die, you're out of this prison. You're gone. You and the Holy Ghost are gone. When I figure number 24 will go to, oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? The body is death. Number 25 is the clincher. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, spirit, I myself serve the law of God with the spirit, but with the flesh, body, the law of sin. See how he separated himself? And I always said this, and not that I know so much. I always figured that Romans 8, 1 should be Romans 7, 26. But that's okay. Now we come to the real clincher, the one that really releases you. Therefore, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Why did Paul put that in there? Right there. He was talking about separating in 7, right? Now he says there's no condemnation to you because it's the flesh. But you're separate. You're a spirit. You're a brand new spirit when you ask him to come into your heart. Still got the same old body, but there's the clincher. No condemnation. Yes, we can walk in the spirit and we can walk in the flesh. And it's so easy to go into the flesh, of course. We were there, you know, before. But when we walk in the Spirit, it says no condemnation. King James adds verse 4, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. But I have a Greek New Testament, and the King James added that after. But it is number 4, that the righteousness requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. That's why he says in Romans 6, 2, you're no longer in sin, he said. And that was another clinch I couldn't figure out. Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Remember, all the sins are at the cross. Every sin. What about that sin you're going to do tomorrow? What about the sin if you're here in a year's time? Jesus at the cross. It's at the cross. Everything he took to the cross. Anything that, like I said before, that will hinder you from walking with him at the cross. When I get frustrated or I feel somebody hurt my feelings, I got to go home right away. And I get into my apartment and I said, Lord, help me handle with this. I'm hurting. I feel offended. And he's always there. And we pray and pray. And all of a sudden, that hurt feeling disappears. It's gone because it's at the cross. Every time, sometimes when I get frustrated and angry, I can see myself. I run to the cross and take it away from Jesus and bring it back. This hurt feeling, that's mine. Nobody can have this hurt feeling. No, no, he took it to the cross. Give it to him. Any hurt, when I feel pride coming in on me, no, Lord, you took it to the cross. I don't want pride. I don't want pride. Because he did it all. Jesus did it all. Doug and I are going to sing in two songs when I'm finished here. And one of them is, this one, it's Jesus Paid It All. Simple little song. Amen. But we're going to sing it. We're going to worship him. Hallelujah, my King. Let's give him a hand clap right now. Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. You did it all. You did it all. What a God we have. You know why I like preaching about Jesus, speaking about him? Because he's the man, excuse my language, he's the man that saved this butt from the fire. Isn't that true? He's the man. Why do I want to talk about this or about that? I want to talk about Jesus. And to this day, he's still helping me. I'd like to tell you a little story before I shut down. My wife died 17 years ago, my second marriage. We were married 17 months, and she died of lung cancer. The specialist in Calgary said, secondhand smoke. The woman never had a cigarette in her mouth in her life. But anyway, before she died, she said to me, and that's the last word when she went to coma, Don, go to Canada Pension, and you can get part of my Canada Pension. She worked for years in a senior home in Regina. So I went there, and they said, I'm sorry, Mr. Heineman, I have no record of that you married Vi Weens. She forgot to go to the Canada Pension and tell them that she got married again. So what do I do now? I went back to the pastor who married us. In the meantime, the church where he was, they locked him out because he spoke about some of the sins that are coming. That's another story. So he made a new marriage license because her children, when I was at work, they were, when she was dying, they all come, six of them. And they stole the marriage license from me. So he made a new one. So I am to this day still getting some of her pension. But the rest of the story is she had life insurance and her six children were so angry at me they thought I was going to take part of it. And the Lord said to me, Don, sign off. You were only married to her 17 months. She was saving this for her children. So I signed off. But you know what? A friend of Doug's is good on the calculator, and he figured it out. I get $300 or $330 a month from part of her pension times 17 years. You know what we're at? We're over nudging 50,000. And I'm not dead yet. I'm still going to collect. But isn't that good how God blessed me? I signed off. I could have maybe got more. It doesn't matter. But I listened to him. And he said, no, Donald, sign off. I'll bless you anyway. And he's still blessing me. Every month when the check comes, say, thank you, Jesus, for this blessing I have received. So I think I've talked enough. I want to... the book's here, Doug. So let's, Doug, you and I sing these two songs. And I don't think I went too long. The Holy Ghost has told me to shut her down, so we're going to shut it down. Amen. Thank you. Page 77. And then Stan said he wants to come up and pray for me, so we'll do that. 77, and there's two songs. Oh, I got to have a little water, Doug.
J. Vernon McGee's is this song for Through the Bible. J. Vernon McGee's been gone to heaven for whatever, 30-some years, but this is his theme song for Through the Bible teaching.
Okay, you ready, bro?
Sure.
You start.
Okay. I hear the Savior say,
thy strength indeed is small. Child of God, watch and pray. Find in me thy all in all. Here we go. Where were we here? We're having a little trouble here. Here it is. All to him I owe. Sin has left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Here we go. For nothing good have I, whereby thy grace to claim. I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Here we go. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin has left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. One more. And when before the throne I stand in his complete, Jesus died my soul to save. My lips shall still repent. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin has washed the crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Number 14. We will go to this old book I've been reading or singing in it. It doesn't sound like it today, does it? But anyway, I have a DVD at home called The Blood, and this song is in it, so we're going to sing it. There is power in the blood. You start.
Would you be free from the burden of sin?
There's power in the blood. Power in the blood. Would you believe? Bless victory when there's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you do service for Jesus your King? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily his praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you for listening to me. Bless you all. Bless you all. Bless you, brother.
Isn't that encouraging?
Amen. Amen. Let's pray. God, we thank you that you speak to us, that you are that kind of a God that you want to be known, that your word is alive. I thank you that Jesus. Don has a lot of favorite passages and that he could share them with us this morning and remind us that we are covered, that we're washed in the blood, that there is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ.
Amen.
That you see us as righteous and pure because of the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you for that great word this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.
Bless you, brother. Bless you.
Here we go. Thank you. I've heard more of Don's story. He told us some of it, but I know that he spent a lot of time in his younger years. By the way, it's kind of hard to believe that he's got a mom who's still alive at 108. Like, she still thinks of him as her little boy, I think, and he's 79, so I think there's something funny about that. That's good, but you know, Don spent a lot of time in the bars, and I bet you did some singing in those bars. I can just almost see it today. You and your buddies, but you were this time you're not carrying a beer. That's a good thing. This time we're just singing to the Lord, right? And well, those are now you're dating yourself. Amen. God is good, and the message is that there's hope. There's hope. What's there's no reason to come here. There's no reason to read the word. There's no reason to listen to someone go on and on about whatever, unless there's really hope, unless there really truly is a Jesus who forgives us for our sins, and who says there is no condemnation. You don't need to carry this anymore. This is a good message today. You don't need to bear the weight of this. You know, sometimes how it is when we go through life and we got something, you know, heavy in our lives. Some of you may be going through that. Maybe that it's unforgiveness, or maybe it's an addiction, or maybe you're just really struggling with a lot of bills or worries. You know, how many of us have worries or fears? Just hear the message today that he carries that. Maybe it's your grandchildren. Maybe it's your children. Maybe it's a job. We've all got something. I mean, if we're really honest, every one of us has something in our lives that's broken. And only one person can repair it. Only one person can fix it. And that's the Redeemer. He redeems our lives from the pit. I love that. You know, just think about that. You're in a pit. I don't know what your pit is, but you do. You know what your pit is. And the Bible says that he redeems. That means he comes to us and he lifts us up out of that pit. And he says, I'm going to make something really beautiful out of this ugliness, this miry clay, this mess. Your life's in a mess? Good. I'm going to change it into something that you can't even believe how beautiful it's going to be. Amen? Yeah. One of the passages that Don talked about, you know, how we're buried with him and that our sins no longer exist because he has essentially, and what that means is from God's perspective, he has essentially said, I'm not going to count them anymore against you. It's kind of like, this isn't the greatest analogy, but if you're a soccer fan, there's this thing called offside. I don't know how that works exactly, but I'm not really a big soccer fan. But sometimes the referee, there you go. You tell me where I'm at here, Tola. But once in a while, the referee will call off a goal. And it looks like to everybody that it's a goal. And the guy yells, you know, the announcer yells, goal! There's always this long goal thing. But the referee goes, no goal, no goal, not a goal, not a goal. I'm not going to count this one. Well, that's kind of what Jesus does. Every single time we fail or we do something or we fall short of his glory, he goes, I'm not going to count this one. I'm not going to count this one. Why? Because that's why I sent Jesus. I sent Jesus so that I wouldn't need to count your sins against you. In Romans, just listen to this, Romans 6, when Don read the first part of this, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. In other words, if you really love God and if you've really given your heart to him, you're not going to want to keep sinning. You're not going to want to live that way anymore. You don't want to be in the bars anymore, right? You don't want to do that. Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? So that We are buried with him through baptism in death in order that just as Jesus was raised from the dead, through glory, the glory of the Father, we too may have a new life. We are all about new life today, and we have been all along. We're going to see a couple baptisms here this morning, and it's another reminder. We got one little girl who's going to be baptized and one grown man, and maybe there's someone else. Maybe you need to get baptized today. So I'm going to extend the invitation one more time. Pretty soon we're going to put that blue tub away, and we're going to go to the river later on, maybe in August or early September. So this may be the last opportunity before we put this tub away. This has been a standing invitation, and there's been at least 20 people that have gotten in this water in the last two and a half months. I think that's a great thing. Let's thank God for that. Let's give him a big hand. Amen. This is a standing invitation. This is Jesus saying, come to me, all you who are weary and who are heavy burdened, all of you who are afraid, all of you who have trust issues, all of you who are struggling, come to me, and I'll give you rest, and you get in the water, and all your sins will be washed away. It is, you're not saved because you get in the water. It's a symbol. You got to understand that, okay? This is a symbol that, it's a symbol of the blood, that just as you get in the water and you're immersed, that you are washed of your past, you're washed of your sins, and you are in God's eyes, and that's all the place where it matters at all, is only in God's eyes. In God's eyes, you are clean. You are clean. And maybe you need to just come forward today, and I want to just give you that opportunity. No pressure. Like, I would never twist your arm. You do this only because God is moving your heart to do it. The Bible says that we need to repent. So if you're ready to repent and say, I'm sorry, I am sorry for what I've done, then he says, I want to welcome you into my family. And that's the cool thing, is we've all been in there, and most of us here, or been in a river. We've been baptized one place or whatever. We're all part of this. We've all done this. We've all fallen short. We're all sinners. You know, you can't out-sin me. You know, I can't out-sin you. We're all pretty much pretty good at it. Thank God that it doesn't matter to him. He doesn't look, he doesn't go and say, oh man, I'm sure glad I don't have to deal with Tim's sins today. It's not a big deal. God can carry it, right? God can deal with it. And God can deal with Stan's sins. He washes us clean. He forgives us. All right. So I'm going to ask Rick to come up. And then after Rick's going to share a few words, just asking what Rick's got to tell a little bit of his story, I'm going to ask the kids to all come here, because one of those children, Kylie, is going to come. And she's going to be baptized as well. But I want all the children to come here and to be a part of this today. It's important. Rick, give me a hug. Tell us a bit about what's going on in your life.
Okay, well, before I go ahead with this, I have a confession. You could have asked me 10 days ago, 2 weeks ago, a year ago, do I believe in God? I would have said, well, I don't know, there must be a higher power out there somewhere. But you know what? I had a spiritual awakening last week. Boom! It came to me over, I don't know. God came to me, he showed me that he's real. He showed me that there's a heaven, there's a hell, and it's eternal. It's timeless. And so I choose this time to start over, have a fresh start. And you cannot be a spiritual being in good health unless you're walking with Jesus. So I choose this time.
Amen. Yeah. Yeah. Come here. That's good, buddy. God opened your eyes.
Yep.
You actually had a vision where you actually saw.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. And I believe
came.
It.
And, yep. Maybe it was in my head, but.
No, it's not. It's not. Don't listen to that lie.
They showed themselves.
They showed. Yep. And so, people here are going to be praying for you, Rick. What do you need prayer for? We're gonna see you baptized, and we're gonna see you belonging to Jesus. But how can we pray for you?
Well, I want to just pray for my family,
yep.
And for my soul, and also for my dad, Ken Hunt, who had a heart attack last year, and he's a little worried about his spiritual soul as well, too, so pray for that.
Okay. All right, we're going to do that. Let's ask the kids. The kids are going to come up, and while they're coming up, maybe Marg and Robin, we're going to get ready to sing that song, okay? This is going to be a gift. That's the way I see it today. I just got to explain this a little bit, but Marg has this song, and Marg's never, hey, buddy, this is my grandson, by the way. Marg doesn't sing very often, but she, you know, God was saying this is a song we needed to do. So we're going to hear the song. It's a gift for you, and then we're going to get into water and baptize you, okay? Let's pray. God, thank you that you are the living God. Thank you that you are the God over our addictions and over our sin and over our depression and over all hopelessness that's in us. I pray for Ken. I pray for Rick. I thank you, Lord, that Rick had the courage today to stand up and that he has heard you, he's seen you, and he wants to know that he belongs to you. He gives his life to you. I thank you, God, that there is repentance, and where there's repentance, there's hope and there's life, and that we can get in the water today and see all that is dirty washed away. In Jesus' name, we thank you. Amen? Amen. So why don't you just sit right there for now? And where's Kylie? You going to get her? And we're going to have, I want you to listen to this song, okay? This song is, the cry in this song is, I am not alone. So let's just listen to it. Maybe you need to hear this today. You're not alone. Whatever your struggle is, you know, whatever it feels like to be in the pit, you're not in the pit alone. God is with you.
I feel
Oh, you want to be baptized today? Come on up. We're all one big, happy family. Praise God. It's time for a new beginning, right, Sean? Amen. Amen. Come on up here. Give me a hug. Is it time for a new beginning? Yeah, you want to say something? Okay. Let me just ask you this, though. You want Jesus in your heart. You want Jesus in your life, right? You repent of your sins, and you're ready for a brand new start, then we're all a part of this. We're all in. We're all in. Amen? All right. Praise God. Now, why don't you come up here? Where's Rick? Rick's still up here, and Kylie. Well, Kaylee, I'm sorry. Kaylee? There you go. Give me a... Crystal is going to say a few words to you, Kaylee, because Crystal's been came into your house and talked to you, right?
Okay, so do you remember what baptism means? Do you remember? Why do you want to? You were telling me this morning that you really like it. Why do you really like it?
Because I can be with God.
God, yeah. And what does the water mean? What does the water mean?
What does the water mean? Your sins?
All your sins?
Oh, she told me, she actually said in Sunday school this morning, she said that she sometimes would go swimming and she'd go under the water and pretend like she was getting baptized. So I think she's really ready to be baptized.
No more pretending, right? So why don't we do what we always do? Let's all come and stand around the water, and we do this because we're one body. We are one. We stand together. And this is an exciting time. And if there's anyone else, we're going to baptize three people here, but we can I can get wet for four or for three. It doesn't matter. So there you go. Let me just put you down. Kaylee, you love Jesus with all your heart?
Yes.
Yes. I want you to know something, that he really loves you. And I just see the Holy Spirit on you. I see beauty and gentleness, and God's going to use you. You know that? God's going to use you, and you got a wonderful mom and dad and a family. And this is one of the ways that God says that you belong, okay? He says, you belong to me, Kaylee. You are my daughter, and you're precious. Okay? You know, I've said this many times, but when John the Baptist was baptizing people, I'm sure there were people who weren't planning on getting wet that day. They walked over the hill, and there they saw, you know, hundreds of people walking in the Jordan River, and they heard what it was about. They heard that this was about a new beginning. Shauna, this is, look at me. In my eyes, look at my eyes. That God loves you. And there's time. I just hear him saying this to you today. Shauna, it's time. It's been a long time. I've been waiting for you, God says. My arms are open. I'm waiting for you to come home. And you are home now, my girl. You're home. Jesus is saying, I love you. And all of your sins, all of them are gone. Like Don said, I don't remember them. God says, I don't remember them. You are a daughter and you're a child of the King. Amen. You believe in Jesus? Yeah. Well, let me tell you, just hear this today, people. There's two things that God promises when we get baptized. He promises, one, that our sins will be forgiven. So your sins are forgiven. They're done. The second thing he promises is that he will fill us with his Holy Spirit. When you come up out of this water, you will be a new Shauna. You will be filled with the Holy Spirit, and you'll have a help. You'll have a help that you never had before. Amen? All right. Jody, where are you? Jody, I just think you got to say a few words. So maybe you got a word of encouragement for your buddy.
I've been waiting for a while for this. You know, you've been the best man at my wedding. And God's going to do great things for you. I don't know what else.
Yeah, they have been bugging me for years. And I kept saying, am I going to do it just because you guys want me to? I don't think that'd be right. And finally, I'm ready to do it because I want to.
Because it's such an important part. This is about belonging. You know, we are washed in the blood. We belong. We belong to Jesus. We also belong to each other. We are one body. That means that we pray for each other. That means we don't backbite. That means we don't criticize. That means that we encourage each other. All those other things. You know, we heard about love, right? Don talked about what love really is. It does not resent. It doesn't bear a grudge. It forgives. Those are the real signs whether we're a real church, right? Gonna sing some random songs. Alive, alive, alive forevermore. Put your hands together. Alive forevermore. Alive, alive, alive forevermore. My Jesus is alive. Sing alleluia. Sing alleluia. My Jesus is alive forevermore. Sing alleluia. Sing alleluia. Alive, alive, alive.
alive forevermore. My Jesus is alive, alive forevermore. Alive, alive, alive forevermore. My Jesus is alive. Sing alleluia, sing alleluia. My Jesus is alive forevermore. Sing alleluia, sing alleluia. My Jesus is alive. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. Give him a big hand. Yeah. So God, we just want to conclude our service with prayer. Thank you that you are the God who changes lives. Thank you that you bring us out of darkness and you bring us into your light. Thank you that with the power of your Holy Spirit that is now in us, we can do things that we could never do before, things that we try to do of our own willpower that never worked, because now you live in us. You live in Rick, you live in Kaylee, you live in Shauna. Wow, we celebrate with the thousands upon thousands of angels today who rejoice when one that is lost is found. This is good news. This is a great day. We give you glory and praise. Thank you that you are a God who is predominantly love. You are love. Your very essence is love. And we pray today that your love would flow from us, that it's the love of Jesus that people would see in us. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. This is a great day, folks, so celebrate it. Thank you, Jesus.